Fellow Freedom fans, David Allen Carmichael here. Faith and Freedom Show. Number here, well, you already heard what our number is, so I'll just go ahead and skip that. And let's go to some of these issues. As I just before the break, I was talking about this issue, and again, this is going to come up. This is a little bit strange. It's not in the mainstream media, but it's something I think that is important. And once we get a subject matter expert on the details of the facts, we're going to investigate it, and I think it's important eventually. I don't think the story is going to go away. In fact, you'll be a little bit up on the knowledge curve more than everybody else. And I think that's important. I read a book that was written about the person who was in charge of Treblinka, which was a death camp. It was literally a death camp. It was not a labor camp. That was in Poland. And what happened in Germany, because the German constitution would not tolerate death camps, all these camps to kill off people that were just done by the discretion of the SS and whoever was driving them, these people were taken to militarily conquered extra Germany territory places like Poland and killed there because they were not supposedly subject to or have the benefit of the German constitutional protections. That's what was happening in Germany. And you wonder why some of this stuff was happening in Poland and other places. That was really what was going on. And the reason I found out about that is there was an interview given to the person who was in charge of Treblinka. And he was explaining, just in casual conversation, that there were certain things that he was involved in doing prior to his being put in charge of this death camp. There were these camps, the euthanasia kind of thing, where they were eliminating the useless eaters, those people who were crazy or had some disease or something like that. It was sort of like what they called a mercy killing. And that stuff started to happen in Germany. And of course, the courts and the law in Germany wouldn't tolerate it. So it started, those mercy killing factories started being moved away from Germany because of that issue. And it ultimately happened that they began to have death camps, where Treblinka particularly was one where just people were shipped there in closed cars. Some in cattle cars and some in closed cars, and they were eliminated one car at a time. They would open a car and say about 300 people would trickle out of the car. They were turning in all their clothes and they were told to hang on to your paperwork because you're going to need that later. And it kind of gave them a sense that everything was fine, and they would walk them right into a gas chamber where they would be put to sleep because of carbon monoxide or some other gas. And of course, then they'd be carried off to a crematorium and eliminated. And this happened where there was essentially about the train masters that witnessed this realized they came up with numbers that ultimately they understood that about on an average workday, over 3,000 people were eliminated just at Treblinka per day. So the 9/11 victims per day, every day, just at Treblinka. And some people say it didn't happen. Well, I guess you'd have to argue with the guy who was in charge of the camp. And of course, he said that it wasn't his fault. See, he wasn't even giving orders to have them killed. It was just sort of the machinery that was happening. And he was in charge of making sure that the camp ran smoothly. Okay? That's sort of what his mentality was. Sort of strange stuff. So that's something that has happened in our history. Now, after the fact, you know, we look back and there were questions asked to him about, well, what does your wife know? Well, my wife asked me if his wife asked him if he had anything to do with the horrible things she was hearing was happening at the camp. And he says, no, that stuff's not happening. And, oh, if any of that stuff does happen, I'm not really the guy in charge of that. I just do this logistics stuff. And so she was appeased. Oh, my husband has anything to do with any a horrific thing that are happening to innocent people. And then they began to say, well, what were the people in the neighborhood? Well, after a while, people knew what was going on. But at the end of the war, when they came across and they found these prison camps where people were treated worse than, I mean, crueler than anything, that if you treated your animal that way, obviously you'd go to jail. There's a common law provision for cruelty to animals. It's actually biblical. The tender mercies of the wicked are cruel, says in the Bible. That's something I know on the top of my head. But the things that were happening then, you know, what in some instances, when they found a prison camp, the U.S. soldiers at the end of the war, when they liberated these people, when there wasn't a lot of liberation to do, because there's a point where somebody is in such bad condition, though they may be conscious today, they may be dead tomorrow, and there's not much you can do. Some people were saved. Some people couldn't be saved. And what they did, they went and got the Burgermeister. They got the little town mayor and all the people in the neighborhood who knew this was going on, and they got them to go move the bodies off the pile of people who would just walk out to a pile to die, so that their friends who were too weak to carry them wouldn't have to. And they were taking hundreds of people and placing them in graves. They had to get the townspeople to do it because it was happening on their watch, and they didn't do the natural thing and the godly thing is to intervene. So that's why if we've got a situation where our country, your tax dollars, are involved in perpetuating something that is wrong, then whether or not we like it, whether or not it's comfortable, whether you call, you bleeding heart liberal. Well, actually, I'm so liberal, most liberals think I'm conservative. And I'm so conservative, conservatives think I'm liberal. That's my problem. My hope is that I can be so extreme that ultimately, in the middle, it'll balance out to be writing on the truth and what is right. And that's my hope. So they're going to say, you bleeding heart liberal. No, really, guys. If there's something happening on our watch, do we just empower guys with guns? Even though it's a war situation, you know, there's laws of war. Because wars have to be just, or else it's just a big melee of a bunch of maniacal criminals with guns. And should you have, and if it's, you know, maniacs with guns and nuclear weapons are running those things, I mean, who knows what kind of catastrophe can happen. So the goal is that even when in the military, even when in warfare, that you're subject to law. Because in America, this is supposed to be a land of law, where the king is law, lex rex, where the king, the law is king in America, rather than just merely the passions of people who are put in power. Those people who are given power should not be exercising their power without authority. And that's what you heard earlier. If you were listening to our show, we listened to Alan Grayson, the congressional representative, the 8th District of Florida, was putting questions to Mr. Ben Bernanke, chairman of the Federal Reserve, to saying, by what authority are you exercising power? And is it possible that your exercise of power is abusive, is ultimately unlawful, goes contrary to the intention of the Constitution? And is it possible then, therefore, your acts are unlawful? So that's what he was alluding to when he was challenging Mr. Bernanke the other day in some congressional hearings. The number here is 888-850-1872. That's 888, the dime's on me, 850-1872. If you have some opinions on these things or other things, you can give us a call, 888-850-1872. And what got me into this conversation with regard to, I'm going to tell you, talk about this thing where Mr. General Dostum is basically being sought out to consider whether he was in charge of a massacre and whether there were U.S. personnel that were involved or complicit or something like that. Now, there's a statement, Mr. Dostum, it turns out like during the Bush administration, nothing was going on. There are no investigations. In fact, there are satellite photos that show that once people started raising the red flag, that an investigation by just your common man started looking into the possibility of there a massacre occurring, and that they actually found where this burial site was. There are satellite photos that show the area before the burial, during the burial, post-burial, and then after it, the word got out that people were looking into it, that suddenly those burial spots you can see by satellite photos are suddenly disturbed in a large scale, like, you know, heavy equipment moving in there, shifting the earth around. So it's actually seen this progression by satellite photos, that something has been happening since then to tamper with the site, to do something with the evidence. Of course, there's a whole lot of evidence that remains there. So when Mr. Dostum started getting challenged by that, things started getting buried. Some of the witnesses started being harassed or killed. Two of the witnesses in particular have been killed. Two witnesses that gave information to a documentary group have been killed, and others have been beaten since then. So I think this is an important thing. I think somebody's going to continue to look into it. We're going to look into it, too. Now, Mr. Dostum, he's off hiding in Turkey right now. Who knows? Maybe I don't know if anybody knows where he is. But right now, because he's under charges that he has done some wrong things other than this, and so his own country is trying to track him down. But he wrote a letter. He said, and he's explaining this idea that's a possibility that there was a massacre. He said, the High Military Council of the Northern Alliance, of which all members of the National Unity Front were members, after investigating and discussing this story in September of 2002, published a statement. And this is Mr. General Dostum, who's the prime, basically the alleged warlord that oversaw this potential massacre. He said, it was stated clearly that no intentional massacre of prisoners of war had taken place. Look at the qualifying word there. No intentional massacre. What if we took out the word intentional? Is it possible that they could honestly say that no massacre of prisoners of war had taken place? It may be in his mind that, oh, it was an accidental massacre. We accidentally did something incredibly stupid, and we accidentally forgot to tell the guy with the machine guns putting holes in the boxes that you don't shoot where the men are. I mean, it's very possible. It sounds like it's just a bunch of knuckleheads that are just sort of insane and don't know what they're doing and did something incredibly stupid. They haven't got any common sense. That, you know, they, when you put that many people stuffed in a box, it's most likely the vast majority of them are going to die in a very short period of time. I mean, he says, no intentional. A clumsy me. I accidentally put 3,000 people to death. So he says that there was a fact confirmed by those who were responsible for accepting the surrender of these prisoners. And he mentions, he says, in addition, it was reported to me that the U.S. Department, Defense Department also confirmed this. So in his letter, he explains that there were Americans there. And here's another part of his statement I thought was interesting. He says, the statistics regarding these killed by the Northern United Front presented by Mr. Duran were more than the entire number of prisoners of war captured by us. Well, it turns out that there are other generals who had said that there were over 7,000 prisoners captured. And the problem was, in their prison, there was only about 3,000 that ultimately supposedly showed up. And then they found out later that those 3,000 that were there in the prison weren't part of the group. There's a good chunk of them weren't part of the group that were initially captured. So there are several thousand people missing. And that's kind of interesting. Okay. That's it. So I'm just going to leave it at that. We're going to close up the show here. And we're going to come back. We're going to be always trying. We're going to be keeping track of this audit the Fed thing just because I think it's important when we've got strange powers being rendered to all kinds of agencies around the country. It's impacting people locally. It's impacting the auto industry. It's impacting the auto sales industry. And there's a lot of arbitrary kind of powers that are just swinging around with lots of money, which equates to a lot of power, and it's going to be affecting a lot of people. So these things are going to be followed here by the Liberty Works Radio Network team. We encourage you to become a participant, even if you don't agree. I challenge you. I think what we're saying and what we're doing here and the kind of way we're approaching this is necessary. And get involved. Get on board with this. Become a member. And because we've got to be able to exercise this, the old adage, I think, will hold true. The maxim, use it or lose it, folks. We've got to exercise those rights of speech, utilizing the airwaves and other methods while we can. And that's the way we're going to keep this nation free, prosperous for ourselves and our posterity. And I think it's important for our religion, the duty we owe the Creator, to love our neighbor as ourselves by sticking our neck on the line now for the sake of our future. Hey, keep tuning in. Check out our website, faithfreedoms.org. Join the Liberty Works Radio Network. Listen 24 hours a day, libertyworksradionetwork.com.